And so we're going to continue on with that this morning. Well, put up our first one, please, Beth. 1 Peter 1:23. And we've read this, so we're not going to turn to it. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God's word is seed, right? We've been over that and over that and over that. But I wrote some things down here I want to read to you. God inspired, according to Scripture, God inspired every word that's written in this book, right? We know that in the Scripture. He recorded it. He had every... There was things that happened, the Bible says, that even Jesus himself done, that there wouldn't be enough books in the world to record it all, right? So we know there's some things he handpicked to have put in the book, and there's some things that he left out. But God inspired every word that's written in this book. He inspired the men and women that wrote it. Three of the writers, he inspired them to record Mark 4 for us. It's Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. It's the same parable in every one of those, but every one of them either says it a little bit different, tells the same story but a little bit different, or gives a little more insight than what the other one did. So God had that recorded for us three times. When Jesus says your name twice, if he says it once, you better pay attention. But if he says Simon, Simon, ooh, you really better pay attention. Why? Because what's coming's heavy. So it must be very important for us to know if he had it recorded three times in just four Gospels, right? So that means this would be like kind of like the granddaddy of all parables, right? So if you got your Bible, let's look at Mark 4. And I'm going to read verse 13. And it's Jesus talking, and he said unto them, now he had told them a parable, and they didn't understand it. Now 13, he says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Sounds a little surprised, don't he? And how then will you know all parables? So to me, that is saying, if I don't get this parable, there's lots of parables in the Bible, right? But he's saying, if I don't get this one, how am I going to get the rest of them? Because this is kind of like the main thing here. Now, let's look at Mark 4, 21. We're going to start reading through 32. He goes on and he says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Notice this. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. What's that mean? Revelation knowledge. When you're hearing what I'm saying right now, you know, you hear when you go to church, you hear preaching on TV, you hear whenever you read the word or whatever, but how many knows there's something in that way more than what you heard? Some of y'all looking at me kind of strange. I watched a movie. I really, 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 really like this movie. Johnny's like, we're not surprised. But anyway, I watched this movie. I have now watched this movie 5 times. Now, the first time I watched the movie, I heard 2 cuss words. I went to the movies and watched it. I heard 2 cuss words. Well, I don't really like that, you know, but that ain't too bad. You know, well... come on my TV at home. From the beginning, I watched it the second time. The second time, I heard a little more, and I thought, hey, I know I only heard 2 cuss words in that movie. The third time I watched it, I heard more. The fourth time I watched it, I heard more. The fifth time I watched it, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't recommend this movie to anybody. This thing is full of cussing. Sandy, I heard 2 the first time I watched it. Why am I telling you that? Because everything is like that. The word is like that. You read it, and on the surface you may get something, but there is way more in the word of God than what you heard the first time, or the second time, or the third time. I probably, if I watched that movie, and this is just a natural thing, I guarantee you probably if I watched that movie the 6th time, I don't know if I could take it. But the first time or 2... I only heard 2. Why am I telling you that? Because he says here, notice this, let's read on for just a minute because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. He says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, revelation knowledge. What did Jesus say whenever Peter had a revelation of who he was? What did he say to him? He said, y'all remember? He said, my Father revealed this to you. This didn't come by the will of man or by flesh and blood, but my Father has revealed it. He got revelation knowledge of who Jesus was, right? And Jesus told him, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. What's he talking about? That revelation knowledge that you get, the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And that's the only thing the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against. So the flesh and the devil likes to get in there and say, I heard that. Give me something new. I got a book I told y'all about. Y'all remember? Then I've been reading on. Well, I finished the book. And it was good to me. It's kind of like when you eat something, when you eat a good meal. Y'all ever read your Bible or something other and it's like you eat a good meal? You feel kind of the same way? Because you really did. Man shall not live by bread alone, right? Natural substance, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live, he said. Well, I've started that book again, and somebody else has got the same book. I told them I was through with it, but I had started reading it again. They're like, well, was it that good to you? I said, well, yeah, it was good to me. How many of y'all, you ever eat potatoes in some form or another in your lifetime? French fries, mashed potatoes, I mean, whatever there is. And you're like, I've ate them in 1969, D. Why would I want to eat them again? That sounds a little crazy, don't it? Especially if you like potatoes. The word is the same way. It's food. There's so many different ways you can fix potatoes. But it's all still potatoes, ain't it? There's so many things in this word, but it's all still spirit and life, right? So we need to read it, and we need to study it. Let's go in here. Because I'm still trying to get ahead of myself here. But anyway, we're looking for revelation knowledge there. 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Now listen in the Amplified. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. We're looking for revelation knowledge, right? That comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. 25. He says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What is he saying there? What I just told you. See, when I read that book the first time, it ministered to me. It was good to me. Things stuck out to me. So my flesh and the devil would be like, why read that book again? You know it. You read it. You got it. No, I didn't. I got a little bit. But Sandy, there's something in there that ministered to me. So why would I want to move on if it's ministering to me? Why would I want to stop eating potatoes if potatoes is ministering strength and nutrients and all of that to me? I wouldn't. I'd be crazy. But the flesh and the devil likes, move on. You'll hear a word, and you'll be like, I've heard that before. No, you didn't hear it. You might have heard it, but you didn't hear it in here. There's no revelation knowledge that you're living by from the word that you heard. So that means it ain't got in here yet. You just heard it out here, and so you think you're done. Move on. This is something that I have come to learn. And I'm beginning to put it into practice. And I'm getting more and more. I told the Lord, I said, because, see, now this is our fifth time on this subject, on this Mark 4 here. And I feel like we're going to be on it a long time. I don't know how long we'll be on. And see, my flesh wants to say, well, God, they don't want to hear that, or we got that. Can't we listen to something else? And God is like, no. There's more in this than you know. There's more in this than you have ever seen. So why would I want to move on? You don't move on until he says. I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't care. Don't make me. Listen, I'm one, if I feel resistance, you better believe I am going to dig in, and I'm going to get like a bulldog, because you're not going to move me, I'm not going to let the devil move me. I'm going to stick with whatever the Lord wants. That better be every one of us. Why? Culture, people, the devil, all kinds of things try to move you off of the will of God all the time. So I told the Lord, I said, God, I don't care if you have me on this for a solid year. I read this. I have read. Every year I read the New Testament with y'all. Well, now I'm reading the Old and the New and some other stuff or whatever, anyway, this year. But I have read this and read this and read this and read this. I don't know how many years now. And I've never seen it. It's never stuck out to me. You know, just daily read or whatever, you know. But then here a while back, one day I was reading it and bam. It's like, there's a little bit. How come some got 30, some got 60, some got 100? I've never had that thought before. Guess who that is? Guess who's wanting to show me something? But he's not just going to blab it all out to me. Who's the finders? The seekers. Those. So what I've been doing, I've been taking Matthew 13, and I've been taking Mark 4, and I've been taking Luke 8, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it. And day and night, on and off, all day and night that I'm awake, I'm meditating on it. And things are coming, kind of like a puzzle. Like I get a piece over here, but I don't really know how that piece connects to the piece over here. Man, that's revelation knowledge. It's coming from the attention and the study that I'm giving to the word that I'm hearing. This is the kingdom. That's why this parable is so important. Because this is the way the kingdom of God works. But a lot of times we've just got trained to, a lot of people, they go to church just to check the box, make themselves feel good, and whoo, that was a good message, and by the time they get to the door, they forgot about it. Reckon they're going to get any fruit from that word? Let's go on here. So I want to get way further than what I feel like I'm going to here. Verse 25? For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Right? As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. You don't have to know how this works necessarily. I don't know how I can go put an acorn out there in that dirt and it starts growing an acorn tree or oak tree. I don't know how that operates, but I know that's a law that it will operate, right? It's the way the kingdom is. He says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Notice how it comes. First the blade. No harvest yet. You just got a blade coming out of the ground. But you're well on your way. Hang in there. Then the ear. Y'all ever looked at corn before it's ready? It's just got these little tiny little bumps on it. Ain't nothing you can eat on there. And full of hair, silk, you know, or whatever. That's how it is. And then he goes on and he says, after that, the full corn in the ear. He says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. That was a parable about how the kingdom operates. You put the seed in, right? In the ground. The ground is the heart. You put the seed in, which is the word of God. Then you get a little bit of shoot coming out. Then you get a little bit of corn maybe growing on it. But then when you look at that corn, how many kernels? You planted one kernel. How many kernels is on that one ear of corn? Could be 100 or more. I mean, I have no idea. He's saying this is the kingdom. That's why the study and attention that you give to the word that you hear causes that to grow and make 100% more than the one kernel that you sowed. He says, this is the kingdom. He goes on, he's got another one. In verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Now we all know, I mean, them so tiny you can't hardly see them. Just tiny, tiny little seeds. He says, that's what the kingdom's like. Which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, in other words, it's planted, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. He says, this is what the kingdom is like. Every one of these. this is what the kingdom's like, right? All right, let's go here to the parable. Let's go to, let's see. I'm trying to think of which one I want to read it in first. All right, let's go to 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and yielded fruit that sprang up, did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen, let me say this. What determines an ear to hear? What, ask yourself, what makes you have an ear to hear? Now, Ecclesiastes says everything's vanity. Because, he walked away from the Lord and really got into some bad stuff. But he says everything's vanity. Everything that has been, will be, and will be again. Right? Y'all read Ecclesiastes, right? All right. We are the modern day children of Israel. The Bible says the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Right? It says that the New Testament is the Old Testament what? Revealed. We are them today. Everything they did back there, you can bring it over here and compare it to every one of us. God, the Bible says that in his word, he said all his promises in him are what? Yes and amen. Never a no, never a maybe, not today. He says they're yes and amen. So there's somewhere when we get born again that God is wanting to take us, and it's called salvation. And when you look up that word salvation, that doesn't just mean being saved from hell. That word salvation is a package deal. That means you are saved from hell. The penalty of your sins has been remitted. They're no more held against you. They're washed away, never to be brought up again. But it also means healing for your physical body, healing for your soul, your emotions, every part of you. Provision provided for you. See, Jesus did everything when he went to the cross. And all that stuff came on him. The Bible says he took upon himself poverty that we might be made rich. There's nothing, everything that was put on him was so we could get the opposite. That's a package deal. But some people think that it's just getting born again. But that's where you just entered in the door. So God had Moses go over there. God told Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard the cry. God hears the cry of all people. And you got people today, they're not born again yet. And y'all hear Scotty, that man, bless his heart. I hear it, and I'm at church all the time. There's just something in him that he knows. If you'll get to church and you'll hear the word and you'll do the word, your life will change. But people are crying out to God and they're wanting their life to change and they hear the word of come to church. Aha, you got time for church. What is church? What do you think church is going to do? Oh, it does a lot. I would have never made it, Sandy, without going to church. I would have never made it in my walk with God. There was times I felt like I wasn't going to make it going to church every service. And you'd hear the word. That's where you hear the word the most. You're supposed to. Now, you can hear it on TV. You can hear it when you read your Bible. You can talk about it and all that kind of stuff. But how many knows what's supposed to happen when you come to church is you get revelation knowledge. You hear testimonies of your brothers and sisters. And the devil may be lying to you and say, you can't have it. You'll never get it. You'll never be it. But then you hear somebody that you know was worse off than you. And they stand up and they say, God did it. I got it. So then it makes you say glory to God. If he'll do it for them, I know he'll do it for me. Because I know the word says he's no respecter of persons, right? Church is so important. If it wasn't, you better believe the devil would not even bother with trying to come against it. or to keep people out of it, right? But we're just like the children of Israel. God said, I've heard the cry of my people. God hears the cry of those people, and what's he do? Sends a word. Send somebody with a word, whether it's a person or on TV or somehow or another, they invited you to church or they told you God is good, something, right? That's what he told them. I've heard the cry of my people, Moses. You go tell them, sending them a word. Why? Faith comes by hearing. This didn't start in New Testament. Faith didn't come by hearing and hearing by the word of God in New Testament. It's been from the beginning of time. How do you think Caleb and Joshua, not filled with the Holy Ghost, not born again yet, did what they did and believed what they believed? They heard a word. But he told him, he said, I've heard the cry of my people. He said, you go over there, Moses, and you tell them. And y'all remember the story, Moses, stutter, can't talk good, okay, we send Aaron with you. You know, so they both go over there together, Aaron and Moses. And they say, thus saith the Lord, God has sent us here. He's got you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land, God said. It's a blessed land. It's a plenteous land. It rains there every time it needs to. There is no dry desert in this land. Right? And they all said, woo, yay! And then Pharaoh said, I ain't letting them go. Take away their stuff that they make it, that straw and stuff they make in brick with. Make them go gather it up now. Right? He made it harder on them. See, it's the same thing. Except they fought natural physical enemies, whooped out their swords and their shields. Now the Bible says we don't fight natural flesh and blood enemies, according to Ephesians 6. He says, but now we fight who? The devil and all his cohorts, right? Over there in Ephesians 6. So now we whoop out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? And we put up the shield of faith that the Bible says will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. But we're the same. We're just the modern-day children of Israel today. And our promised land is Jesus. It's health. It's blessedness, right? It's eternal life. Their promised land was a natural promised land. They went in there, and he said it's flowing with milk and honey. Caleb and Joshua, they sent 12 in there. Oh, they had to have two men, April, to carry the grapes. I've never had nobody to have to help me carry no grapes out the grocery store. This was some grapes. This was some of the best soil on earth. And it rained at just the proper time. And the temperature was just the proper time. I don't know, maybe it made rain a miracle grow. Something happened to them. God said, this is my land and I'm going to give it to you. And they all went in there and they all saw the same thing, right? 12 of them saw the same thing. They come back and 10 of them says, oh, yeah, yeah. Look at these grapes. Look at that. One bigger than the size of your head. Just take that one and eat it for lunch. Like grape you ate for lunch. Yeah, it's like God said. Just like he said, here's this and here's this and here's this. But there's giants over there. We have giants today. Y'all remember when I came here the first of the year, I don't remember exactly what Sunday it was, but anyway, first of January, and I told y'all I believe that God had put, I didn't hear a voice, but I believe that God had put in my heart that us as individuals was going to go higher this year, and us as a corporate body was going to go higher this year. And remember me telling you, there is a devil standing at your next level that's going to your promised land. Y'all don't get what I'm saying. There is a giant, let's put it that way. There was giants that inhabited that land. The Jebusites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Ariites. They're out there, right? Now, you come over here today, there's an eye at my next level, Sandy. He says, I occupy this place, and you're not going to get it. Right? But God said, I can have it. God said, healing's mine. Healing is the children's bread, he said, right? But there's that out there, that Goliath, that big giant says, nope, no way, no further, you can't have it. No, it's mine. I inhabit this land. Y'all not saying nothing. Just like they did, the children of Israel, all those ites was there, and they said, we can't do it. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. They didn't even see them. How'd they think? What do they know about them thinking they look like grasshoppers? And they said, we can't do it. Oh, and I'm telling you, when they said that, Joshua and Caleb began to tear their clothes off and have a come apart. Faith gets so annoyed by unbelief. But unbelief gets so annoyed why it's light and darkness. Light has no fellowship with darkness, right? And they are totally contrary one to another. They begin to tear their clothes and say, look, look, it's just like God says. Look at the graves. Look at this. It's just like God says. And if God be for us, if he delighted us, we're well able. That's what Caleb and Joshua said. See, they all heard that word, Johnny, that Moses came back and told them. God said he's got us a promised land. He's going to take us into it. He's going to give us them. They're going to be bread to us. But the others didn't have an ear to hear what God said. Why? The Bible says if you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. That's how come you can take everybody in this room or somewhere else, and you can have preaching going on, the word coming forth, or at home, or wherever the case you may be, and one will hear, and one will not. In this ground that we're talking about here in Mark 4, there's four different types of ground, right? Or you could say four different people, or you could say four different groups. But the word says the ground is the heart. Only one person, Sandy, out of those four people brought fruit. This is the kingdom. Makes me understand and see a little bit more of why things happen the way they do. And if only one of those four, or only one group of those four different groups, however you want to say it, because there's four different types of ground, which is the heart. If only one, I got to make sure, Sandy, I'm the one. That's how important this is. Because he says, this is what the kingdom's like. This is how the kingdom operates. And you can look around you, and when you understand this parable, you can see it in people's lives. Instead of just wondering, what happened? Well, this is what happened. Now let's go on here. So a willing heart causes you to have a hearing ear. Let me say this. Y'all have all heard the story about how I'd asked God for a baby and Travis was 15 years old and I had given up on that, wasn't really a desire in my heart anymore, moved on, done, prayed for years, you know, and didn't have any reason not to be having kids. I'm a married woman or whatever. But anyway, when Travis was 15, God spoke to my heart. I'm sitting at my table eating ramen noodles and Rod Parsley's on the TV. So I remember it like it's right now. And in my heart, God said, ask me for a baby. And I thought, what? Are you serious? I heard it again. I asked him 3 months later, I found out I was pregnant. Make a long story short, y'all have all heard the story. I didn't fight like I was supposed to. I didn't know some things. I didn't do some things. I lost that baby. Well, I know where he's at. I didn't lose him. I mean, I know where he's at. He's just not here in the earth. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Okay, after that happened to me, I got so hurt and so upset with God because my heart was broken. See, for me, this wasn't just a baby, somebody that had wanted a baby for years. This baby was going to be my redemption day because I didn't feel like in a lot of ways I was a good mother when Travis was little, especially. So this baby was my redemption to do with this baby and raise this baby better than I did with him. Y'all get what I'm saying? So this was more to me than just having a baby. So when that happened, I got so upset at God and I got so hurt at God, I told Scotty, I said, listen, let's leave here. Because it hurts too bad to be who I am. And the way I am, the kind of person I am, if something hurts me, bothers me, you're just out of here. Why? I don't like pain. So I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to deal with it. And Scotty wouldn't run away with me. He said, Tracy, we can't go nowhere out of here. I don't give a rip. I'm going with a point to this. But I got so hurt and so upset at God and all of that But in my heart, now this is in my head. The head and the heart are two different things. Sometimes they can be on the same page. Sometimes they're not. So in my head, because I can't figure out, God, why did you bring this up? You're the one caused me to have this pain. I was fine with just one kid. Why'd you even have to bring it up? Why'd you have to start this and tell me to ask, knowing all of this right here was going to happen? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Maybe I don't talk to God like that. Maybe I'm just, you know, kind of like the Apostle Paul. He said, I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners. Maybe I have been. But I'm so hurt at God, and I'm griping at God, and I don't want nothing else to do with him. Everything, every sermon I have ever ministered, every word I have ever heard is being tested on the inside of me to the max, buddy. You better believe that thing is in the fire. That word is trying me, and I'm failing. But Sandy, my heart, I love God, and he knows I do. But I'm so hurt, and I'm so confused. And I thought if I asked God, he told me to ask. I thought, breeze, everything will be fine. But see, when he tells you to ask, that don't mean it's going to be fine. But when he tells you it's going to be, then it will be. And so I'm upset with God. I don't want nothing to do with God. I'm not coming to church no more. I'm not reading my, I'm done with this Christianity stuff. Because it don't work, and I'm hurt. But I have a willing heart, Sandy. And God made sure. See, I had a willing heart, so I turned on some preaching. My flesh didn't want to. My head didn't want to. But in my heart, I love him. So I turned on some preaching. And lo and behold, it was just exactly what I needed. And the message was called The Thief of Unbelief. And I could see myself in every word he was saying. I could see that whole process from the time it started till the time that it ended. And it wasn't God's fault, D. It was mine. See, my willing heart, even though I'm so upset, I'm so hurt, my willing heart caused me to have an ear to hear. And when I heard that word that God sent, it turned things around for me just like that. And I learned some very valuable lessons through that. So a willing heart, as long as your heart... See, a willing heart, God's got something he can work with. It's a seed. But when the heart becomes unwilling, he ain't got no seed. So there can't be no harvest. So there can't be no change. As long as we have a willing heart and keep giving God something to work with, he keeps planting that seed in there and it'll grow. Right? So a willing heart makes a hearing ear. Now, let's look at did we read that down through? Okay. Let's go back to verse 15. Because we read that whole parable, right? Let's pick it up here in Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they heard, who? Oh, we caught you now, devil. The thief comes why? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's it say come here? It says, Satan cometh immediately before you can get to the door back there. And taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, let's let Beth put it up on the screen for us. Beth, put up Luke 8:5-6, please. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was what? Trodden down. I asked y'all last week, how many of y'all got born again the first time you heard anything concerning the salvation message and nobody raised their hand? You did not have a willing heart, therefore it did not give you an ear to hear the word. What happens to a lot of people? Now see, Scotty, he thought he was this big bad thing, and why he did, I don't know, he's 5'6". It's not all that big. But anyway, he always thought that, you know, and all of that. So we heard the word, you know, through family, and Sandy was after us and a lot of other different people. So we got word coming at us. We don't need that. God forbid, I'd have to give up smoking pot, and that makes me feel relaxed. Just, no, I don't need that Jesus stuff. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Just don't need that Jesus stuff. Then that's me, you know, because my thing is fun. I want to have fun. I'm such a sad person. I'm desperately want to have fun, you know. Scotty's thing is, he's this big bad God. God, he's not going to be no candy, you know, because the Christian candies, they walk around in their suits, you know, and their hair parted over to the side with their big Bibles, you know, and he's not going to be a candy like them. Whatever your thing was, there's some reason your heart wasn't in a place to cause you to have a here and here. But one day, now see, you don't have to go down there, but your unwilling heart causing you not to hear the word that's coming to you and receive that word, your life gets worse and worse and worse. And you keep rejecting the word and rejecting the word and rejecting the word till one day, see, me and Travis was his world. In Scotty's heart, all he ever wanted was to have a good family. That was his heart's desire. That was not my heart's desire. I'm the party girl. I got to have fun. But what I'm looking for fun, I did not know that in Jesus you have joy. And there's a difference. So one day, I had left him for the last time, took Travis. He wasn't even 2 years old yet. And his world came crumbling down. That was the end of it. And the devil telling him, if God is such a good God, like everybody says, why does he put you here on this earth to torment you with hell while you're here to die and send you to hell? He lies about God. God don't send nobody to hell. You go because you reject his son Jesus. Well, lo and behold, his life fell apart. He gonna commit suicide, all that. Got the gun, the pictures all squalling and bawling, you know, over that and everything. And all of a sudden, he hears. What happened, Dave? His heart become willing. Why? Because now he's at the bottom and there's nothing else. Now the heart becomes willing and he has a spiritual ear to hear his brother's voices. When they told him, God's a good God. He'll help you if you ask him. So he did it. And bam, he went from death to life. Got up and thought, I don't want to commit suicide. This is strange. Well, something happened to me. He don't have a clue what's happened to him. You don't have to at that point. Then he has the next thought. He has, turn some preaching on. We didn't listen to preaching. Who was preaching? I don't want no preaching. Turn on the Rock 99. I mean, and let's go. You know, call the homeboys. We got to party. No, he thinks, turn on preaching. Who do you think it was? Got a willing heart, hearing ear now. Turn on some preaching. Turns on the preaching. Lo and behold, the guy. I'm telling you, God, he's amazing. Just amazing to me. The preacher comes on, and the first thing he says, get your anointing oil. Scotty thinks, anointing oil? What's anointing oil? We're so dumb. I mean, we don't know anything about the truth of God, and what Scotty knows is not right, you know. And he thinks, anointing oil? What's anointing oil? And so then the preacher says, I go get you Crisco. And he thought, we got Crisco. Willing heart, hearing ear. God's beginning to leave. He don't even know there's a Holy Ghost. But now somebody's come inside, and that heart is willing, and that ear is hearing God just like this, and don't even know he's hearing it. He says, get you Crisco. He thinks, hey, we got Crisco. He goes in there, he gets Crisco. He says, anoint your house with oil. I tell you, when he said, anoint your house with oil, it was to the top, to the bottom. Now, I'm coming to bring Travis over because I'm working at the basket factory, so he keeps Travis until I get off work. Then I pick him up and I take him back with me. I get there. I grab the door handle, D. I can't hang on to the door handle to turn. I mean, this knob is greased up. And I'm thinking, what in the blankety blank is this blank? I'm just telling y'all God's honest to truth. I finally get the door open, and I go in there, and I'm talking to him, you know, la-da-da-da, and I got to go to the bathroom. I get in there, I use the bathroom, I go to flush the toilet. The handle is greased up. I'm thinking, what the blankety blank blank? Got a little blankety blank over here. I'm not. got no willing heart, so I don't have no willing ear, and my mind can't figure out what is this wacko doing. This house is greased up. But see, Sandy, he had a willing heart and a hearing ear, and that word said, if you'll serve me, I'll bring your family back. He heard him say that. So all of my blankety blank and grease and all of that stuff, that it wasn't the oil, it was the faith to do what the preacher said do. So I'm getting oil all over the place. He probably had it on the seat and I just didn't feel it, I don't know. But it's on the toilet, it's on the doorknobs, it's on the, I mean, anything I could have touched, it is greased up. I mean, the man just got happy about it, I reckon. Anyway, I left. 2 weeks, we get back, well, I left or whatever, and then we talk one night or whatever, and we get back together. Lo and behold, I don't know what the man's saved. He seems a little different. He ain't calling me or nothing. You know, usually he's calling, won't be come back, blah, blah. He's not doing none of that or nothing. So anyway, we get back together. Now, I don't know the man's saved. He tells me he got saved and he's going to go to church, and don't try to keep him from going to church. Y'all all heard the story. And so I told him, well, that's fine. But don't talk to me about your blankety-blank God, and don't talk to me about your blankety-blank church, because I'm not going to your blankety-blank-blank-blank church. He says, okay. Oh, I'm telling you, God. I want to say sneaky, but he's not sneaky. The devil's sneaky, but he just, I'm telling you, he can just whoop in there everywhere you think he can't. 2 weeks later, I get saved. Scotty was the link to me. But what happened to me was, I'm sitting there, we're staying with his mama, he's at work, his mama's at work, just me and Travis there. And all of a sudden I think, turn on some preaching. I'm not saying. And Sandy, for the life of me, I can't remember ever having a different thought. It's like it just did not, it's like I'm on autopilot or something. So I turned the TV on. And y'all know the story is TBN, and these kids are out there, teenagers, whatever they are, maybe they're early 20s, and they're playing volleyball on the beach, and they're talking about Jesus, and they're having so much fun, and they've got the Joey of the Lord. And I'm like, Joey? They just say Joey of the Lord. See, Scotty's hook, or his lure, was family. Mine was not family. Mine was Joey. The joy was what I had been looking for in all the partying and all the drugs and the rock and roll and everything else that you could possibly do. I was looking for that because I thought, because see, the devil lies and the flesh lies. This is what will make you happy. This is what will bring your family back. This is what will give you peace. This is what will give you joy. But it's not. It's all a lie. So when I heard that, my heart was willing. It caused me to hear. There's joy in Jesus. And that's what I'm looking for. So the next thing I know, just like autopilot, I can't tell you another thought that I had. I just turn around there and kneel down in front of the couch and just pray and ask God to forgive me and all that. And I'm saved, and here we go. What is my point to all that? A willing heart. That's all it is. A willing heart makes a hearing ear. There's Christians all around us all the time. They don't have a willing heart and they don't hear. Makes you wonder how come some people don't hear, right? Have you ever wondered out how come two people can be hearing the same word, but one of them's like, means nothing to them. Their heart's not willing, therefore they don't hear the in-depth of what's in the word that's being spoken. So for me and him, and I'm sure maybe you didn't have to go as far down as what we did. You know, and people think, well, God just caused tragedy in my life. No, he didn't. Your rejection of God, your rejection of his word. The Bible says all good things come from above. All good things are from God. There's no badness in him, period. No shadow of turning. So if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's you or the devil, the one. Right? Oh, good Lord. My time's up. We ain't even got to the first point yet. Told y'all we might be on this a while. I'm going to have to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close? I don't know. probably 8-10 years, I guess. Something like that.